disappeared. I was going to thank Mebby that said in a few words what I was going to take half an hour to say. It's lovely when God gives you a confirmation, isn't it? Because I was going to talk about the fire values, and then earlier in the week he started talking to me about the calling, the first calling of the disciples. And I was thinking, well, is this too simple to share? But when Mabby's sharing about going back to the beginning, and what you shared is basically brilliant for us this year. Thank you. So I'm just going to confirm it. I'm going to read some scriptures. I say, God, he was talking in the week about the calling of the first calling of the disciples, and he said, go and read it, because you know we will know how the disciples were called, didn't we? I mean, Jesus was wandering along; they were called them out of their fishing boats, and they followed him. So you think, well, what is there to learn in that? But he said, go and read them, the four accounts in the four Gospels. So the first one's Matthew 4:18, and it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And I thought, okay, that's exactly how I remembered it. So I went to Mark, which is chapter 1, verse 16. And Mark says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Okay, still exactly as I remember it. And then we get to Luke, which is chapter 5, verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water, let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, from now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So that account's a little bit different, isn't it? Okay, so we go on to John, which is chapter 1, verse 35. here it's talking about John the Baptist. And it says, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" Nice, isn't it? "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one who Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approach him, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So, that's quite different from just walking along the beach and seeing a couple of guys and saying, "Hey, come follow me." And I thought, well, if this is the first calling of the disciples, how can those four accounts all be true? You know, there are things in the Bible where you read them and you think, well, that says that, but over here it says that. And you can't get your head around it at first. So you have to dig a little bit deeper. And, well, the common belief there is that these are actually three different events. Jesus didn't just call the disciples once. But they grew up together. They lived in the same area. They would have known him. So you get the idea that these guys, they knew Jesus. They'd heard about him. They'd heard him called the Messiah. They believed he was the Messiah. And yet, they're in their boats fishing. They're getting on with life as normal, carrying on as life was before they knew Jesus. But they know him. You know, and it's very easy for us to know Jesus and yet get on with life as normal. We know him. We know he's the Messiah. We know he's victorious. He can do miracles. He can heal the sick. But we get on with life as normal. We just carry on fishing. And quite often, as in the story, you don't catch anything. You come back with an empty net. And then Jesus comes again. And he says, "Let's go out and do exactly what you've been doing all night long." Or in terms of us, you know, it might be years we've been doing this same thing and not seeing any fruit. And Jesus comes along and says, "Let's go and do it again." And they go out with Jesus. And they catch such a huge catch that they have to call people over to help. Did they do anything different? I mean, some say they cast a net on the other side of the boat. Well, I mean, it's a big sea. Does it really make a difference whether you're that side or that side? I think more likely the difference was that Jesus was with them. I loved it when Hank said, come here, little fish. Do you remember when Hank was here? It just reminded me. He said the miracle wasn't that they caught the fish. The miracle was that they fished all night and they didn't catch any fish. And he was saying, little fish, go away. It's not your time yet. And then when it was time, come back. Love it. But they caught such a huge catch. And then the other thing I wanted to bring out of that was there came a point where they knew Jesus, they were getting on with life. They knew Jesus, and he came to them, and he changed the effect of their life. But then he said, come, follow me. And they must have thought, well, what have we been doing? We're all followers of Jesus. We've been here for years following Jesus, haven't we? But then he came back to them and he said, come, follow me. And they left everything. They left their boats. They left their way of life. And they followed him. And that changed everything. They actually left their way of life and followed him. And they were with him. Instead of just knowing him and knowing about him, they were with him. And everywhere they went, they were with him. They still messed up. They still didn't get everything perfect. They still didn't understand half of what he told them. But it was different. They committed themselves to being disciples. And they followed him. And that must have made a difference in their life. And then I thought, well, what happened when he left? When Jesus died and he went, what did they do? They went back to work, didn't they? They went back to life. And again, we're just the same. We work with Jesus and we see miracles. And then the next day we go back to work. And it's almost like he's forgotten it because he's not there. And then he came back again, didn't he? And he said to them, wait. Go to the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And then when the Holy Spirit came, that really did change them. That was the point where they changed. And life was never the same. And what I wanted to bring out of it is, we're all saved here. We've all been walking with Jesus a while. We've all tried this and we've tried that and we've prayed for people and seen nothing happen. And we've proclaimed stuff and we've seen nothing happen. And you can either sit back and say, well, what's this all about, God? You say this, but we don't see it. You say this and we don't see it. We're healed in your name, but we're ill. You can dwell on that. Or you can listen to his voice when he says, come, follow me. And you can walk with him and include him in everything we do. And then I believe we'll see a difference. We'll see a catch. But beyond that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be aware of the Holy Spirit in us. And we need to believe that we can do those things that he says in the Bible. One of those passages says, come with me and you'll see greater things. This year we want to see greater things, don't we? I mean, we'll be happy with a catch, but we're not going to be able to cope with a catch unless we see greater things. If 100 people come through the door next week, are we ready? No. Will we be ready? No. Remember John and Carol Arnott saying they weren't ready. When God fell in Toronto, well, he didn't fall, he came. they weren't ready. But when you've got Jesus with you, you've got Holy Spirit in you, you can cope because he equips you for the work that he's planned for you. And we need to be walking closely, listening to him. not focused on what we think is life, because that's not the life he's called us to. You remember when you were first saved? You remember in baptism? You die to self and you rise again in Christ. That's where we are. We're risen again in Christ. We need to leave behind last year's life and step into what he has for us this year. In his presence, with the power of the Holy Spirit, ready to see the greater things that he wants to show us. Yeah. And that's just what Mabby said. You know, we need to roar like lions, not hide like mice. Because that's what he wants for us. The fire values just say the same thing. But we can spend weeks going through them. I'm not going to do them justice in 10 minutes. So I'm not. What I'd like to do instead is just, where are you today? Would you like to come forward and say to God, here I am, Lord. Send me. I really want to put down last year's life and pick up what you have for us this year. It's going to be different. We're going to put the boats out and we're going to catch fish. We're going to catch fish. Tamsin's going to learn to love fish. They look like people. People-shaped fish. But, you know, even if nothing happens and we... I often think, if you live a life of obscurity and nobody ever knows anything about you, and yet you spent it with God, that's a life well spent. We don't want to pick up the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be someone. It's all about him. It's all about him. And if great things happen here, and everybody goes away and says, this is what Jesus did for me, and they never mention Oasis, that's a victory. If they go away and say, look what happened to me at Oasis, you think, we haven't taught them properly. Because it's all about him. Everything we do needs to point to him. And we're just... we can hide in the corner like mice. Until he calls us to roar like a lion, we stand up for him, and then we shrink back and let him take the glory. Isn't that a good way to live? Don't think I could handle fame anyway. Cues of people wanting your autograph and stuff. It's just so much better, isn't it, if they just learn to look at Jesus themselves. So that's where we want to go. We want to catch people. We want to point them to Jesus and just let them walk with him. Train them to catch more. So if you're up for that this year, why don't you come forward? Or if you don't want to come forward, just let somebody know that you want prayer. And as leaders, we're going to pray for you, because God's put us here as leaders. And for us this year, we need to pick up the authority and the anointing that he's put on his leaders. And he has, and we need to believe he has, and we need to believe that we can impart that to everyone who wants it, you know. It's very, I'm just aware it's a very similar message to the one Franklin gave, isn't it, with the coin. But it's a new year. It's a good time to say, yes, Lord, let's go for it. So if you'd like to, we'd like to put the playlist on again. And let's just...
Can I just share
Yeah, sure.
Something?